Good morning and welcome everyone. My name is Walter and lovely to see you all here. Happy smiling faces. Wasn't it lovely this week to have all the rain after such a dry period and sunshine again today? As we gather, we remember the four G's, which are... Oh, is it? There you go. That's giving it away. This term has been lovely to have our Connect groups. If you haven't joined one, consider doing so in the future. So the Alpha Grow Study Group, Youth Grow Study Group, the Prayer Gatherings, Kids Church, which I know the kids have enjoyed, Hospitality Ministry, and each providing different ways to serve, learn, and connect. Let's enjoy worshipping together.
Well, good morning. How are we?
Very good.
Well, we're okay. We all come in different perspectives this morning, don't we? To come and to be able to join together in worship and to be in community. I'm going to invite you this morning to come and take a seat at his table. Do you want to do that this morning in worship? If you want to close your eyes, I just want to read a couple of little, you know, verses this morning, phrases. If you want to close your eyes, if you want to look, I don't mind. But I just invite you to do that this morning, to take a seat at his table. Have you ever experienced that nagging feeling of never enoughness? You can't measure up. You don't have what it takes. You're burning the candle at both ends and you feel that you're simply not worthy. Sometimes it can be like a wave that sneaks up on you, grabs hold of you, fights hard to keep its fingers around you. It's a crummy feeling, isn't it, to experience that? God gives us his word and encourages us to be grounded in that. And one of the best ways to curb that or to realign, to refocus, to overcome the feeling of never enoughness is to look to his word. God says in his word that you are loved. In Isaiah it says, you are precious in my eyes and honored, and I love you. In John he says, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. Being loved can mean your dog runs up to you every time he sees you. Your husband or wife embraces you every morning before you walk out the door with a big hug. Or you have words, the world's best friend group, that do nothing but encourage you, speak words to you, not out of duty, but because of genuine love for you. When you pull up a seat to the table of the Heavenly Father, we're told that God demonstrates his love for us, not only through his word, but through his actions. As long as we are holding on tight, we will never fall. Unfortunately, as humans, with the way through the fall, there are times when we lose our grip, don't we? So much so that we fall. And if you find that you are trying to stand after a fall, know that the fall is not a sign that God does not love you. It means it's time to reach out to him again and grab hold. To reach up, take a tighter grip. Take another grip. When we pull a seat up to the table of the Heavenly Father, we are told that we are worthy. God says in his word, the Lord will fight for you. You only need to be still. It says in Luke that are not five sparrows sold for two copper coins, and not one of them is forgotten before God, but the very hairs on your head are numbered. So do not fear, therefore, for you are more valuable than these. In Deuteronomy, it says, it is the Lord that goes before you. He will be with you. He will never leave or forsake you. So do not fear or be dismayed. According to the dictionary, words similar to worthy include valuable, admirable, precious, and worthwhile. In those moments when I fall weak, where I let the darkness in, begin to doubt our worthiness, fighting the feeling of never enoughness, we have the table of our Heavenly Father and we're invited to pull a seat up to that table. But we're told that we are enough, that you are enough. In Zephaniah, it says, "The Lord your God is with you, the mighty warrior who saves. He will give you great delight in you. In his love, he will no longer rebuke you, but will rejoice over you with singing." In Ephesians, it says, "For you are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for you to do." It says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lead not on your own understanding, but in all your ways submit to him. Therefore, you are more valuable than the sparrows." This morning, we're invited to pull a seat up to the table of our Heavenly Father, to be reminded of these truths in his word. When the darkness sets in, we're reminded that the light of the world has come. And at Christmas time, we definitely celebrate that. Light of the world, you step down into darkness. And our response to that is, here I am to worship. Once again, here I am to worship. When we pull a seed up to our Heavenly Father's table, we are told promises of who he says we are. In Ephesians, it says, "For we are God's handiwork, for you are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for you to do."
Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, we come before you just now and we give you praise that and thanks that we are your children and that you have a place for us in your house. And Lord, we thank you that you poured out your love for us on the cross, and because of that great love, we are forgiven, Lord. And that, as your scripture tells us, there is your love is so deep and wide, and there is nothing in all of creation that can separate us from your love. And so, Lord, we just ask that we may love one another as Jesus loves us each. And Lord, not only in this place, but in the community about us, may we reflect your love and the hope that is found in you. And Lord, just as we continue with our worship this morning, Lord, we want to give you all the praise and honour, and we ask that you will open our hearts to receive the message that you have for us this day, and to take that with us into the whatever the week ahead holds for us. These things we ask in your precious name. Amen.
I'm reading from 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 to 12. "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. Amen."
Thanks, Lynn, and to the team for their ministry this morning. It is a privilege to be able to work alongside the team here. I hope I've seen Gillian getting around earlier, handing out the sermon outline. If you would like one, put your hand up. She'll get to you. They're there just as just something to write on. I like to write. Do you like to write? Sometimes I like to draw, and sometimes this helps me concentrate a little bit. So it's one of those things that are quite helpful. We're talking today about living with love. Living with love. I've lived with my love for the last 21 years. A week ago, celebrated 21 years of marriage. Yes, pretty remarkable achievement, I think, in our life. which is quite good. It says in Scripture, love is patient, kind, and also can be pretty funny sometimes, can't it? When I say funny, that's not in Scripture, that's the ad lib, but that's okay. One of the things you do for love, but do you do some pretty crazy things for love sometimes? Well, this week it was Sam's birthday. I probably shouldn't say that. I've just realised that she doesn't like those attentions. But we decided to take a little bike ride, and just to impress you, we rode 22 and a half kilometres. We're not bike riders. Is this where I tell you I was on an e-bike? It made it so much better. Probably would have got away with 2 kilometres if it wasn't an e-bike. So the battery did all the hard lifting for us, the things that we do for love. A story from Peanuts cartoon, you know, the Snoopy and Charlie Brown, goes a bit like this. It was Christmas time and Lucy comes in where Charlie Brown is standing and says, "Merry Christmas, Charlie Brown. 'Tis the season of peace on earth and goodwill toward men. Therefore, I suggest that we forget all our differences and love one another." Charlie Brown, whose face lights up, says this, "That's wonderful, Lucy. I'm so glad that you said that. But tell me, do we have to love each other only at this season of the year? Why can't we love each other all year long?" Lucy retorts, "What are you, a fanatic or something?" Living with love. Have you ever met one of those Christians in life that just ooze God's love? Can you think of someone that you've come across who just absolutely oozes God's love? And you're just like, can I have a transplant of some of that into my life? Can I have that blood transfusion that comes my way? Well, I met someone a number of years ago. Her name was Mrs. Kernell, and she was someone like that. She just oozed God's love wherever she went. No matter how difficult the person, she did a lot of volunteer work for her church, and she used to assist people, you know, with welfare and stuff like that. But she just oozed God's love. No matter how difficult the person was, she treated them like family. She embraced them and took good care of them. She loved on them. She had this ability to make everyone feel really important, no matter who they were or where they come from. Everyone around her was special. She helped in assisting through the salvos by giving out assistance, and she poured time and energy out for strangers like it was nothing, like it was just a checkbook that she could just keep writing check after check, not worrying about the balance at the other end. She's still around, and every time we go back and we catch up with her very occasionally, she's still all the same. She will cross the street to come and give you a hug. When you meet these sort of people, do you ever ask the question, how did they get like that? You know, how did they tap into to be able to experience that? And more, the bigger question is, how can I be like that? How can I get to that point where I can exuberate God's love? I don't know about you, but sometimes I do find people difficult to love. I'm not making eye contact with anyone, just to be really clear about that. I was looked down and say that. No, you guys are all right, so it's all good. But sometimes we experience that, don't we? Sometimes people we work with, some people our own family, sometimes it can be a little bit too hard. And sometimes it can be like an experience of trying to use a cheese grater with that last little piece of cheese and you slip it down and you lose the tips of your fingers, yeah? Sometimes that just grates against you. Sorry, dad joke, couldn't help myself. It just rips the skin clean off. So this morning we're going to look at about how can we become more loving. How can we become? Now, I'm not saying for one second that you're not loving. I don't think that for a second. I think we're all loving. But how can we be more loving? Like Mrs. Kernell, who seems almost like they have this superpower or an energy drink they must drink every morning before they leave the house in the morning to transform them into the loving person. But how do we do that? How did their hearts get so big, and how can our hearts be like that ourselves? In the reading we heard today, we heard an excerpt of a letter written by the Apostle John. So this is one of his letters that he wrote. No, it wasn't to us. But we can certainly take stuff from it. And really, it's through God, via John to us, to this day. And in this letter, John talks a lot about God's love for us and our love for others. He mentions love in his letter some 46 times. So it must be pretty important, yeah? He says it more than twice. It's probably something we need to listen to. So how can we be more loving? I want to explore three ways this morning of how we can do that. Is that okay? Yes. Yep, cool. First one is get to know our loving God. Get to know our loving God. You might say, well, look, you know, I already know God. And I'm sure you do. But sometimes we need to press into that, don't we? A little bit more and really explore the length and the depth and the breadth of that. We become more loving by getting to know our loving God. John begins the reading today. He says, love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. So ultimately, he's looking at love, the source of love being from God in the very beginning. Where does love for others come from? It's right there in verse 7. It comes from God, and our capacity to love others comes from him. People like Mrs. Kernell or those that you might be picturing this morning almost seem to overflow with love. But she talked often about her love for God and his love for her. She would just quite often openly say, oh, you know, I was reading the Bible and the Heavenly Father revealed this to me this morning. She was really sure and experienced God's love. When we experience God, the more of God's love, we will have more of it to give. I didn't end up on this journey with our first experience of God's love. It started there first. It started with him. Christian writer C.S. Lewis said, as we meditate on God's love for us, our love for God and our neighbours will increase and our hearts will become more and more like God's, filled with love. How can we do this? Like I started today, we need to find those times to take a seat at the table of a Heavenly Father. To find that moment, that spot, that place in your life to be able to reflect, to meditate. Like just recently, I've given you those resources, which are still down the back if you want any more, of soap scripture. Yeah, we don't rub the Bible all over ourselves thinking it's going to sink in. It's not going to sink in by doing that. But to work through, you know, those sorts of resources that are out there to be able to take those times. Maybe join one of the connect groups that we've talked about already today. Or you know, find that time. Someone used to say to me, a tent of meeting. You know, people used to go to the tent where God would dwell in the Old Testament times and they'd have that meeting with God. Where's that tent of meeting in your life? The rusty stool in the backyard? Your favourite couch with the TV off? Phone away, unless you're using your phone for that purpose. But where's that place that you connect and experience God's love? How do we do that? So to become a more loving person, we need to get to know our loving God. Point two, and there's a little gap there on your sheet, is get to learn about serving. Get to learn about serving others. This time of year, we have many inquiries for people wanting to volunteer. And I often reflect about it, actually, because sometimes people want to have that experience to be able to give back. Sometimes they want to feel good about themselves, to be able to take part in something, to be less selfish in a time when it becomes very commercialised. I don't know. There's many different answers. But it's definitely a good opportunity when we start thinking about others. Hey, how do we serve others in that? John paints a picture of how God has served the suffering in verse 10. He says, he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. It wasn't just enough for God to speak through the prophet and say, God loves you. Though we hear those messages, don't we, and can take it in. But he actually did a practical demonstration of what that was like. God saw how much mankind was suffering and how much suffering was to come that he poured out his love to rescue us. In verse 11 it says, since God loved us, we ought to love one another. when Jesus was asked, what's the greatest commandment? Love God, love others. And serving is definitely a great opportunity to do that. And now I've lost my spot. The very next verse brings an exciting promise where John says, when we do this, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. When we serve people who are suffering physically, emotionally, spiritually, etc., God lives in our hearts. Now, that might be serving in different ways. Like, you don't have to think you have to sign up and come and see me 20 hours a week and sit in the front office and hang out there. It's not about those particular avenues. But what about the neighbour you can serve? What about family members? What about someone in the shops who's struggling? In our own business, sometimes we've got to stop and help. There's opportunities to serve all over, isn't there? To be able to experience God's love through that. Theologian John Wesley, part of our tradition from way back, was a big believer in this. He taught that all Christians should serve people who are suffering. We should visit prisons, hospitals, hospices. He said it was a way for us to experience God's love and his grace. When we serve, we sense Jesus there with us, and then we gain a compassion and our hearts enlarge with love. Saint Mother Teresa described a similar experience. She said once, she goes, I see God in every human being. What a saint even to be able to say that. I don't know if I can say that I see God in every human being. Sometimes I need to remind myself that God is in every human being, yeah? Some people are putting their hand up with me, yeah? I'm not alone saying that. But yeah, she says, I see God in every human being, and when I wash the leper's wounds, I feel I'm nursing the Lord himself. It is not a beautiful experience. Certainly a certain calling. Now, I'm not saying you have to go do that to experience God's love to that nth degree, but it's certainly a reminder, isn't it? Life's messy, life's not pretty, but we have that opportunity. Serving brings us closer to Jesus to be able to do that. I was wondering if I would put the ministry team on the spot right now who serve so beautifully here and said, you know, this year they've taken a journey with us. It's been a good journey. But through their service in that, has it been an opportunity to, in serving your church, to grow closer to Jesus? I don't know. Yes, definitely. Yeah, opportunity to be able to do that. Yeah, it's a great experience to be able to do that, isn't it? To be able to serve in that way. What about when Tess is here? She shares very regularly about street church. She loves street church. She loves the opportunity she has, and I know Bill does equally as well as part of that, the opportunity to be able to serve in that community. Why do we call it street church? It's taking church to the street. Yeah, sure, it raises money for our organisation, but in some ways it gives us an excuse to be there too, doesn't it, Bill? And to engage in our community, to be able to serve the community, to be a listening ear in that space. How do we get to be more loving? We get to learn about serving. And point three is this. Get on with following Jesus' example. It's to get on with following Jesus' example. If we move back to verse 9, it says this. This is how God showed his love for us, that he sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Now, we've heard that verse before, haven't we? You know, I've been around the church for a while. It's one of those ones that quite often gets used at different points in time. But it certainly reminds us that it's not that we love first, that he loved us first. The source of love comes from him. And this is that absolute picture of selflessness. How selfless God is in sending his Son to connect with community. Like I said, could have sent a prophet to say, all right, tell my people I love them, but I wanted to show them as well. I want to wait all that time and then show them. Christian writer Andrew Murray wrote this. He said, God has no selfishness. God keeps nothing to himself. God's nature is to be always giving. in the sun and the moon and the stars, in every flower you see, in every bird of the air, fish of the sea, God communicates life to his creatures. God keeps nothing to himself. You like that? God keeps nothing to himself, to the point where he goes on to say this, is God gave his son, Jesus gave his life, and that is selfless love. John wrote, "Dear friends, since God so loved us, we ought to love one another." To be selfless. John actually guided us in this direction through the Greek word here for the word love. When John wrote this letter, there were two main Greek words for love. And again, many of you probably have heard this before. One described love for friends or for family, and the other described romantic love, but neither of these words were suitable to describe God's love. So John used the word, which is agape, which means selfless love, others-focused love. This is the kind of love God showed to us. And John says this is the kind of love that we must show for others. Civil rights leader Martin Luther King Jr. once preached on Jesus' parable of the Good Samaritan, one of my favourites. He said, "When the Levite saw the wounded man, he thought, 'What will happen to me if I help him?' When the priest saw the wounded man, he thought, 'What will happen to me if I help him?' But when the Samaritan saw the wounded man lying there beaten up, he thought, 'What will happen to him if I do not stop to help him, if I take that moment?'" We need to work those opportunities that we have to be that good Samaritan, to be able to live selflessly. When, if you've ever been to America, had the privilege of being to America, you get used to driving on the opposite side of the road. Has anyone tried that? Anyone tried it in Australia? And here to tell the story. Well, that might be a bit of a miracle to be able to do that. It's a bit tricky. When I went and visited America in my 20s and had the opportunity to drive, had to actually go and get my driver's license in America. That was interesting in itself. Feel sorry for the guy that was there. But however, he gave it to me. And it was one of those times when you need to come up to an intersection and think about opposites all the time. Think about where the cars were coming from. And there's a story that goes about a young kid who went to America, and he was there watching his dad drive through the streets there. And when he came to an intersection, a big intersection, he used to say to himself, "Think right, think right, think right, think right." It was a different way of operating, and he had worked hard to take it all in. In the same way, we need to work at being selfless, don't we? To think about others, to think about others, to think about others. How do we do that? Sometimes it's even just simple as whispering to yourself when you're walking through a situation, think about others. Think about others. How do I do that? How do I do that? How do I do that in the grocery store? If I'm scrolling through social media, walking into a schoolyard, walking into the church here, how do I think about others? How do I do that? Jesus said, love God. Think God. Jesus said to love God, so we think about God, and to love others is to think about others. What are some of the ways that you can do that? Firstly, prayer is a good place to start, isn't it? Think about, actually, how do I think about others in that? Pray for yourself, your family, your neighbours. Pray for those you don't like as a way to think about others. Maybe read some of the stories in Scripture or remind ourselves of those stories. Maybe ask others how that we do that. How do we do that? And finally, we can pray about that. Certainly pray, how do we do that best? So finally, we get on following Jesus' example of selfless love. Let me pray for you this morning, shall we? Heavenly Father, thank you for your amazing love. And we confess this morning, Father, that sometimes we don't love in your ways that you have called us to. We don't move in your ways. But you have given us a great example through Jesus' life and example there for us. And Father, this morning I just pray that you'll challenge us with how can we be more loving? How can we transform our heart to think about others, particularly this time of year, at Christmas time, when we think about the ultimate gift that you gave us? Father, this morning as we go from here, may we think about others in the way we move, where we work, where we eat, those various different places. How can we do that and to serve you well? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
My name is Anne, and I'm part of the community here, and I have the privilege of sending you out with the benediction today. I want to thank you, first of all, for joining us here today. I hope you had a great time and that you've found a meaningfulness and a closeness to Jesus today. If you're new and would like more information, speak to somebody. Anybody who's gotten up today to talk would be quite happy to talk to you, and lots of other people as well. And there's information on the back table as well, okay? So I'd like to invite you all to stand. And Matt, welcome home. We've missed you. So they don't put this one up, do they? So this is a loving benediction. So as you go out today, be a people of love. Let love live in your heart and share the love of Christ with all you meet. Share love by loving those you see regularly. Start by loving your community. Share love by loving those you do not know. How do your actions affect the rest of God's creation? Share your love by praying for our world. In this Advent season, we need to see, feel, and share love. And as you go out into the wonder of God's creations, share love, joy, peace, and hope with all of those you meet. Amen.